In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What is our lead topic on Tuesday's show? Man, the Beavers might beat Oregon.
From under center, McCoy fakes to Jam Griffin, fakes to Zachary Card, takes a deep shot down the middle. Caught! Touchdown, Beavers! David Wells Jr. on an amazing throw by Giovanni McCoy.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
24-14 is going to be the final. Oregon finds a way. They get it done, and they get it done against a team that just came in here and said, you know what, we don't care who you are and that this is your home field, we're going to play football.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Woody Martz might make it a moot point, and he does! Talk about all the field goals, and Woody Martz rumbles into the end zone, and USC is on top with 8 seconds to play.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Good morning.
What is happening?
How we doing? How was the 3-day weekend?
Oh, it was delightful, man. No stress at all. Some good cooking, hanging out. Went for a good run yesterday. Nothing to see here. It was a great little 3-day weekend.
When you say no stress at all, it makes people think you actually were stressed.
No stress at all.
Dealt with something.
No, nothing happened at all. Okay. We were just hanging out, relaxing on a 3-day weekend, man. Finally got Labor Day off. Just blessed to be alive.
My relationship's great. She definitely didn't cheat on me. What?
No, the stress isn't personal related. It's more fandom related. But we'll get to that throughout the course of the show today. No, nothing to see here. Yeah. I had a crazy dream this weekend. You'll never believe it.
Really?
Never believe it.
Crazy dream?
Crazy dream.
What was it?
Oregon almost lost to Idaho. Crazy dream. Well, yeah, crazy dream.
No,
I woke up and I was like, wow, that was nuts, man. Wow. Woo! A little spooky season. It's Halloween, is it?
I was wondering if we collectively as a show owed the state of Idaho an apology at all. We doubted both those spuds, and for one half in one game, it was like, oh, what's going on here? And the other one was like, what the hell's happening? I don't know.
The fighting spuds. I think we do.
Spuds.
We were going to air a promo this week that was making fun of potatoes and like chopping off your potatoes.
Yeah, I got to figure out what to do with that after the show.
I don't think we can do that. I don't think that's an applicable promo anymore.
I got to see if there's a way to you know, pay some homage to the spud.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it this way. You do play that, and then a radio station in Boise picks it up and goes, look what they think of us.
Exactly.
Another chip on the shoulder another Idaho program.
We don't need any bulletin board material this week. Let's go ahead and
not
piss anybody off.
One more Idaho school coming to the Northwest this week.
We're not done with the state of Idaho yet, okay? So can we just pump the brakes a little bit on making fun of them?
Need to tackle number two this Saturday.
Are there any other Idaho schools? Is this just
not at this level.
Okay, all right. But crazy that we play all three, like,
we
wham,
get them all.
Bam.
There's, like, the feeder school that's, like, the College of Southern Idaho or something that's, like, a
community college or something.
Junior college or something that guys go to.
Yeah, I'll look up the colleges and universities in the state of Idaho. I don't think there's any left after this.
No,
yeah.
These are the three Division
I don't think Boise Bible College is not coming through.
No, the College of Idaho.
Southern Idaho, feisty program. Yeah. Don't think we're playing them this year.
I think this is kind of my fault, though, too, because I've been crapping on the state of Idaho for, like, the last month.
You know, some of it they deserve, but it's also beautiful in parts.
Yeah,
you
parts.
Know, parts of it. Parts. Parts of it's gorgeous.
And parts, is it plural or is it singular? Like, are we talking, what does everybody go to?
Coeur d'Alene.
Coeur d'Alene,
actually,
yeah.
Boise's pretty nice.
I've been to Boise.
I've never been to Boise before.
Spare me.
Yeah, you're out on Boise?
Yeah.
Hey, come on, come on. Boise's, I hear Boise's gorgeous.
Yeah, I've
great
been to
college town.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Great college town?
Beautiful people.
I've floated the river.
Beautiful people. I don't know if I've ever been loudly S-talked walking through a city as I was when I went to an Oregon State-Boise State game on a Friday night before the game.
Yeah, well, we had a player punch a guy in the face on the field at Boise State.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you know what? They say a lot of stuff.
They use words that you shouldn't probably use in certain situations.
Things are contentious between Oregonians and Idahoans.
I mean, they want to
steal our state, too.
They want our eastern parts.
No, I think that's more our southern eastern peoples want to leave. I think that's more about secession than them trying
to... But Idaho's in on it. Idaho's in on it.
Yeah, they're pro.
Are they?
I think so. I think Idaho would land grab if they could land grab.
Let those 35 morons in eastern Oregon just move. Like, I don't care about them and their opinions.
Yeah, we got good golf courses over there, man. I'm not losing those courses. What are we doing? Come on, I can't just give them away valuable property. Oh. They're not taking Bandon from us. They want that part, too.
This was... You know what my biggest fear is?
Yeah, what do you got?
My biggest fear, without knowing the schedule next year, and I think it's always going to be year to year. My biggest fear is that our boss regretted us having Monday off.
Yeah, I was thinking that the entire time.
And I'll say this, I understand why he felt the way he did. Yeah. I certainly woke up yesterday and it felt kind of weird to like holster another thing of... We have so much to talk about that we're not going to get to it all today.
No.
Like, there is no room in the show sheet...
No.
To talk about the fact that an NFL rookie wide receiver was shot blank in the chest.
Yes.
And is going to be out for a minimum of 4 weeks, but he's not dead.
No.
And, like, we won't really get to that today.
No, he just walked out of the hospital the next day like nothing happened.
But I went to the zoo yesterday in our last hurrah day of summer with the fam. We got to the zoo. It opened at 9. Got there at, like, 9:25. And I'll tell you, despite how our boss may have felt about us having the day off in a rare case of who cares about the Idahos.
Right.
It still was the right decision.
Yes, it
there was nobody out there.
Yes,
and I was on the road at 9:15, 9:10 a.m.
No traffic.
There was nobody out because everybody has that holiday off. So it's more a feeling than it is a reality-based situation. There was no evidence that, like, oh, Oregon struggled.
Now everybody wants this.
Everybody, we can't talk about it. What a mistake this. No, there was nobody out there yesterday.
We'll get to it on Tuesday. Our opener's next year as we advocate for Labor Day off again. Oregon opens against Montana State.
Yeah, they're like, there's no reason.
Should be a dogfight.
Who's Oregon State have?
Oregon State opens with the Cal Golden Bears on August 30th.
And that's not a bad
those
little
are your
start.
Opening games.
And I mean no disrespect to my Beavs, but we're the home of the who?
We're the home of the Ducks. That's
okay,
we're
so
the home
this
of
is all going to be driven by who Oregon plays week one. And if
largely.
It's Montana State, there's no reason to do a show next Labor Day.
Largely in agreement on that.
Yeah.
It was a little weird waking up yesterday and having, you know, there's takes. The takes are boiling over. They've been building up since Saturday night. You had Sunday to kind of formulate all your thoughts and all your takes.
Yes.
I was ready to
as
fire.
As rational thought kicked in for Duck fans, that's kind of more what I'm curious about.
We'll find out. We'll see what the text line looks like.
Look at the final stat sheet and you go, well, something doesn't compute. Because they absolutely dominated the football game except on one spot.
Yes. The scoreboard,
the scoreboard,
which is the most important
final scoreboard.
Spot. Yeah, Oregon has a good track record of doing that under Lanning. Hey, look at that. We won the box score, but we didn't win the final score.
That's not the only. No, that's wrong. That is not the only part of the box score they didn't dominate. There's another section they didn't dominate.
I mean, they didn't dominate in a lot of sections. They beat Idaho by 10 points. They beat Idaho by 10 points.
It when you have a Monday off, Georgia-Clemson couldn't have felt it felt like a week ago to me.
It felt like a very long time ago.
With how much I watched Saturday and how weird Saturday was because I had to watch some of it in Seattle and then I had it on YouTube TV and the wife was holding that on the car ride down and then like I'm going home and I'm rewinding one game that I missed.
Yeah.
And I'm watching some of the other coverage and I'm iPadding and I'm it was just all day Saturday and then it's like Sunday, one game.
Thank you for the Sunday game being fantastic, by the way.
The Sunday night game was awesome.
We all had a feeling it was going to be, though, didn't we?
I think we did, yeah.
It felt like very even teams. It could have been sloppy and clunky, and it wasn't. I think it was pretty well played. for the first game of the season between two teams that are supposed to be good.
Yeah, my only criticism of the weekend, largely, even though the storylines were funny last night with Florida State losing, that just said, you know, I mean, that was the only criticism I had of, if you're going to give me the solo game Sunday and the solo game Monday, can we make those a little bit better games? Like, spread it out. Everybody's watching their own teams. We're all excited to see our first games on Saturday. USC, LSU, you knew was going to be a pretty entertaining game.
You want a better game than that?
I want a better game than Boston College and Florida State.
Oh.
I mean, that was the only criticism of Labor Day Monday night.
I found myself being more...
I mean, you're plugged in because Florida State's crumbling, but that game sucked.
Well, that was the storyline, but I found myself, as the game went on, being more interested in, oh my goodness, what is Bill O'Brien got and found? Like, where'd he find this quarterback?
I mean, they just ran the ball.
They just ran it over and over and over
down their throats. But
Florida State also, they are not a good football team.
They are so bad.
Not a good football team. So
however you feel.
Yeah, I'm not Florida State fan.
Your team is. No, you're not Florida State
bad. That's the one. So you're not Florida State bad. You didn't have the weekend like Florida. There were a few Clemson all of a sudden looking in the mirror again, wondering about their existence and will they ever survive. Like, there were a few fan bases that had a really rough go this weekend. And that's the only silver lining whenever you're down. I did enjoy a moment, though, that somebody had a meme this weekend, and it was like basically it was somebody looking at their phone and the graphic of text messages, and it said on your birthday, and there's like three unread text messages, and then the next picture next to it in the meme was when your favorite football team struggles or loses, and it was like 192 unread text messages, and that was the funniest part of the weekend to me. Some people even waited to text me until Sunday, which I quite appreciated, and I got a few of those on Sunday that rolled in Sunday morning, and I was like, thank you for waiting one day, giving me a time to collect my thoughts. But it was just so fun to have football season back, and the energy was there for every fan base, and I love the trash talk that's going back, and my Twitter mentions were lighting up. It just felt good. Everybody's back invested. Mm-hmm. This is the one sport that we all care about. We're all in this together, and it's so fun to have football season back.
I sent a buddy of mine. He is a diehard Duck fan. It's like the only sport he cares about. He doesn't watch the NBA.
Yeah.
The NFL will be on. He claims to be a Cowboy fan, but like, I don't think he can name eight players on the Dallas Cowboys right now. He follows baseball because his kid plays baseball. He doesn't actively watch and root in baseball. He pretends to be a Giants fan, but he actually secretly likes the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
He's not really a sports guy.
Sure, college football is his thing.
It's kind of college football and nothing else. And he's a diehard Duck, and I made a joke to him that I saw a meme that said, because he takes everything personal and serious, and I said, there's a meme out there that I saw before the season started, and it was like, I'm ready to be mentally damaged by what 18 and 22-year-olds do in the next 5 months.
Yes.
And the funny thing about it was, I didn't text him right away during the Idaho-Oregon thing, but I had texted him something like some joke of, he said he was having really negative thoughts about himself during a run. And I said, well, you're kind of a sick individual. And I said, well, I don't know if it was Idaho's defensive line bullying your O-line or your dad never caring about you, but I hope you run some of that darkness out of your system.
That's right. You go run that Idaho game out of you, man. You can get over it.
And he said, I've really been trying to work on not letting these things bother me. I'm working on being better. I feel like I'm almost there. In the moment, I'm not.
No.
But once it passes over, I'm over it.
Yeah, it's like a 3-hour rule as a fan. You got to give yourself that gap right after the game where you need to emotionally and mentally process what you just wish.
This is a 40-plus-year-old man that I'm talking about.
And then you move on. Next, you got the one-day rule, and then you get over it, and the next day you get back. It is so true, man, how emotionally invested we are in our teams.
It's ridiculous.
And the reminder of that I didn't think I was going to get this weekend of like, oh, God, I care way too much. Why do I care this much? This is so stupid. I also love, I think one of the more underrated ad campaigns that exists right now on television is the Dr. Pepper fandom ads.
The Fanville?
Dude, I love
the hype train. The hype train's really good this year.
Well, because it happened to me this weekend.
It did,
we were on the hype train, all steams ahead, and it was like, what does that mean? We got to get off now? I can't stay on the train. They are so spot on with the way that they label fans and the freakouts. And it just, I saw that ad right after, you know, realizing the outcome of the Oregon Idaho game, and I was just laughing my ass off.
What you can tell on those commercials, I think, why they are so good is because I actually think they get input, or it's being written by real college football fans.
Yes, people that understand the nuances.
Portal, the guy holding on is the windstorms.
Yeah,
no,
that's all right. We'll find another guy.
What else was funny from the weekend was, I want to say you mentioned it Wednesday, maybe Thursday, maybe Tuesday, sometime last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I love when the universe aligns and brings things back. You had mentioned on the show that you were like Pablo Escobar in the Netflix guy, standing with your arms folded behind, looking out.
Waiting
for college football to be back. And I loved that I spied on you this weekend. And I caught you in a Pablo Escobar thinking moment on the sidelines, just going, what's happening today? I don't know what any of this is.
I mean, at one point during the second quarter, I thought to myself, is Ashton Kutcher going to run out of the tunnel? Is Oregon setting the record for the largest episode of Punk'd ever made? And the Idaho players are going to take their helmets off and be like, just kidding, we're the Baltimore Ravens. Ha ha ha. Let's start the game for
it's
real now.
It's Georgia again.
I'm in a bizarro world and I'm having a hard time making sense of it.
Yeah, well, we have a lot to get to today. It'll be a busy show. We'll have audio. We got Dan. See, the other thing I have Monday off is we didn't get to react to the game. We already got a press conference about the game. Post the press conference from the game.
Yes, we have the post.
Two press conferences.
We have the press conference the media members got upset with because he wasn't thoughtful enough in his answers, and then the Monday follow-up press conference where he was more thoughtful.
Well, it's there's a lot to get to and react to. Your thoughts are always welcome at the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. They shoot you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFour.com. Let's buckle up, get it going. Dirt and Sprague, a lot of college football to react to next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Well, I wanted to start with one of the biggest games from the week one college football slate, but I want to read a tweet.
Yeah, what do you got?
I'm not past a certain point this year. I will not be active on social media. I've made a vow. School is here now. My kid is starting school today. My other kid starts tomorrow.
School days, man.
School is back in our lives. I weirdly had anxiety about it as if I was going to school, but it's like more like what my life becomes with school.
Yeah.
I've had a bunch of things pop up yesterday, and I might have even more pop up today. And so, like, my life has suddenly shifted. So I didn't see this tweet from Aaron. I want to read this tweet. This is in reaction to the Ducks.
Yeah.
He said, and he's got an Oregon avatar photo.
Yeah, okay? It's a big Duck fan.
Okay. He says, let me put it simply. While it's not time to panic, don't expect me to vow to eat dog poop out of a cup with a spoon if they lose to Boise State this weekend. Fair?
I think that's fair. That's fair. That's a fair assessment from week one. It kind of sums up how we're all feeling.
There's a Florida State fan who I'd never heard of who vowed that if they lost to Boston College, he was going to film himself eating dog poop out of a red Solo cup with a spoon. I would say about midway through the first quarter when it was 14-0, his accounts got deleted. He started deleting everything, and now everybody's demanding this guy.
You need to eat the poop.
To eat the poop.
You need to eat the poop. If you're going to say you're going to eat poop if your team loses, you can't come out with a claim that strong and feel that good about a team win only to watch your...
Dude, they got housed.
They got dog walked up and down their field by Boston, by Bill O'Brien and his butt chin and a little guy who looked like Kyler
Castellanos.
Yes, he looked like Kyler Murray. He's Boston College Kyler Murray. A little... That's what the sound his legs make when he runs.
263 yards rushing. Includes the 50 negative yards from taking knees at the
end of the game.
Yard line at the end of the game.
I mean, holy hell, dude. It's the only silver lining is watching a team like that just absolutely flop and wonder where they're going to go. But if you're going to, don't, if you're an Oregon fan, you're not eating poop this week. Nobody's eating poop this week.
Are we penciling Mario into a top four seed? Because the ACC.
We'll get to that.
I love week one. I love it, dude.
Week one overreaction.
Never going to lose. Yep. He's the best team in the conference.
That guy's the Heisman. He's the best quarterback in the country.
I love the week
I've watched takes. That guy play before. I recognize that Cam Ward. We'll get to that coming up.
Wait until they play a random team at 11 a.m. on the ACC network and he throws three picks in the first half.
I've already made that point. We'll get to Miami and Mario stuff. I know Florida State's down bad. Mm-hmm. They might actually have a quarterback problem now. Like, there was non-committal to DJ stuff in the postgame from Norvell last night. Boy, when everybody in the world tells you, you know what you're doing isn't right, right?
Right.
And then you watch it happen and they refuse to acknowledge, and then everybody's right and you continue to be the only one wrong. I'm kind of like wondering, should you even be a coach anymore? Because what happened to Dabo and Clemson this weekend?
Yeah.
I took them with the plus 12 on spring line. They're supposed to be top five talent composite.
They are.
Not beating Georgia, I get.
One thing, not a big deal.
Losing by 31 and looking one of the most inept offenses I've seen in major college football, that's a different conversation. And I know it's an overreaction because they play in a garbage conference. But yeah, we told you the portal mattered. You continue to say it doesn't. And look at the gap now between you and the best team when you used to be the best team.
That's where you were 6 years ago, 5 years ago. Somebody had a great tweet that'll connect the two teams we're talking about. And it was, there hasn't been a bigger quarterback drop-off than Jordan Travis to DJ Uiagalelei since Trevor Lawrence to DJ Uiagalelei. That was floating around the internet yesterday. Two different programs who thought they could replace their guy with DJ and it didn't work. And then Clemson thought, okay, Klubnik will be the response and the answer we need. And it didn't work for them last year.
He's not... good.
Not good, and I don't think they have a very good offense. Their former players are questioning the program live on social media, asking why do we have so many white guys on offense. That was a thing trending for former Clemson players this weekend, which, you know, valid observation. I'm not going to disagree with it.
We're all thinking it.
You know, when Oregon lost the game the way they did to Georgia a couple of years ago, at least there was the idea that, like, Georgia was coming off a national title. It was Dan Lanning's first game. You had a new starting quarterback. Like, it just... the spread was only 14.5, but very similar final score. At least it was understandable for where Oregon was in the reset of a coach and a program. That's not where Clemson is. They have a coach who has two national championships under his belt. They have a coach who's still recruiting at a top 10 level, but his stubbornness is what's holding them back. Clemson's probably still going to go on to have a really good year this year because the ACC, as you pointed out, is terrible. Florida State sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Miami won one game. Like, let's wait and see with everybody else. The ACC is wide open.
UNC should have lost to Minnesota.
Yes. Like,
Clemson NC could, State struggled in their first game.
Yes, Virginia Tech lost to Vanderbilt, man. And they went into
and
the
Boston
season with
College
hype.
Boston College did that.
Yeah, and Boston College, like, so the ACC's wide open. They might go 10-2 this year, but Clemson is not a program that's just judged on, hey, we won 9 games this year. They're a program at this point that's judged on how do you hang with the big dogs. That was the big dog, and you were outgained by 300 yards. That was an ass-whooping, and it was embarrassing for them.
Here was Dabo on his goals still being achievable.
We can't sit around and wallow in it forever. We got a long season ahead, and we still got a chance. There's not anything off the table for this team. And so it'll all be written when it's all said. They're going to write everything they want to write right now, but it'll all be written in November and December.
Yeah, did you see some of the memes? They were going around before the game had even ended. It was like a picture of Dabo, and then it would be a quote, and it said, "You're washed." And then Dabo's quote in the fake picture would be, "Yeah, I'm washed in the blood of the lamb."
When you play a team like Georgia, you get exposed.
I just...
You know, and that's what happened.
It's
to sit there and say, like, oh, they can't win the ACC, that's ridiculous. That conference sucks.
That conference
their defense
is
good
wide
enough.
Open.
Yeah, it's
there's
wide
no
open.
Juggernaut.
I remember when this happened to Oregon 2 years ago, they looked up and won 9 in a row after losing 49-3.
Absolutely.
And they had Washington and Oregon State at the end of the year with a chance to win the Pac-12.
But there's nothing we can't do. Yeah, there is. You're not winning the national championship.
No.
You're not
no.
close to it.
No.
I'm not sure you're a top 5 team.
No.
But you win your conference, you get a first round bye, and so you'll maybe get that. But Garrett Riley and Cade Klubnick, and
it ain't working, man.
Boy, that off. God, it's one thing to lose to George. Maybe you lose by 17. Okay, all 17. Right.
They attack on a late touchdown. They cover the spread. Whatever.
My lord, man, that was a complete and utter ass whooping no show by Clemson, and I. Honestly, I took them because I went to 24/7 talent composite. Let's rewire that program. And I took them with points. But I watched this at a restaurant in Seattle in Saturday morning. And I was actually delighted. I was rooting against my own Spring line pick. I'm like, couldn't happen to a better guy.
Great.
I love this. I loved watching them just get bullied and pushed around. And they showed that graphic. It was like four programs in college football. Zero portal players. And it was like
the service academy. It's
the service academy because they don't
take
them.
Navy doesn't take them.
Right.
Yeah,
Army. And then Clemson.
And Clemson.
And I said, yeah, who could use a good wide receiver? Not Clemson.
No,
who could use a stout, like, I don't know, offensive lineman? Not Clemson. It's unbelievable.
If there was a way that you could improve your roster and fill holes that you, if only that option was available for you, Clemson could be a really good team. But unfortunately, the transfer portal
Dabo
just doesn't exist.
Dr. Pepper, he needs to watch the ads.
No, he's not. There's nobody jumping in the portal there, man. I think the other hard part with it, if you're a Clemson fan, is that their defense in the first half was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like their defense showed, hey, we can keep us in a lot of games. We just something. Anything, can we just find a pulse for a drive, pick up some first downs, give us some breathing room, score a touchdown, get a field goal on the board. But by the time they score, the game was essentially over. And when you keep throwing your defense out to the wolves because you can't get a first down, they're eventually going to break down. And that's what happened in the second half. That was a 6-0 game at the half.
It was.
Their defense was stout in the first half, and they just crumbled in the second.
I'll say this, and then we'll get to the Miami stuff because I found that interesting this weekend. What did you make of Georgia?
I mean, I just the reminder of, oh, that's right. Good luck.
Yeah.
Nick Saban ain't here anymore. Good luck. I think Nick Saban's the only person to beat that team in the last 3 years, and he's done it one time. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
That was my takeaway from the weekend.
They felt different. I know they were only up 6-0 at halftime, but man, they really asserted themselves in the second half of that game.
No worried about the, you know, riding high off of a national championship. They're pissed that they got left out. There's the anger, there's the motivation to get back and claim their third title in 4 years.
How many players were missing from off the field issues?
Dude, they suspended like half their team. Their star running back didn't play. They sat
and
a
they
bunch of guys
that.
In the first game, and they still took them behind a woodshed.
Everybody's talking about this team. They're the talk of college football. They're back, baby. You know they're back. They won a game and they're back. And oh, we need to talk about that next on The Fan. Well, happy September, everybody. Creeped up on us and now it's here. We are in the full swing of football season now. We just talked a little Clemson getting their ass kicked by Georgia.
We're 48 hours away from Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson.
We are. I also made a mistake.
Mm.
I don't know why, but I sprayed the line on Green Bay, Philly, but that's Friday evening.
It's Friday night, yeah.
So I'm going to be doing a rare waiting for my last spring line pick from last week, but making 3 new picks this Friday. It's
yes.
going to be a weird place to be in.
You have an incomplete record right now.
I'm a 1-1 right now out of the 3 with 1 pending.
Yes.
So there's a lot to get to. The talk of college football, I thought this weekend, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you felt it was something else.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Notre Dame. I thought it was Miami.
I thought there was two teams that shared the biggest spotlight, Notre Dame and Miami being the two on Saturday with their big wins on the road.
And I mean no disrespect to Notre Dame. We had a listener call us out for Notre Dame conversation last week. It doesn't feel like they're sharing it. It feels like it's almost entirely the U getting the attention. Cam Ward was awesome. Miami was awesome, and they stomped a hole in Gainesville
yes,
and
did.
May have put Billy Napier on buyout conversation talk.
I mean, I don't know why he's still your head coach. The schedule only gets harder from here. It doesn't make any, like, what are we doing? Why did you bring him back for another year? None of this makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I also understand why you bring him back. This is his third season or his fourth season. So some of this isn't always fair to those guys, but I text this to you, and I really meant it. About some point in the third quarter, I would have just been like, I'm done. I don't care that you DJ Lagway. I don't see anything here with you that makes me think you're going to make this five-star stud really good. Now, their athletic director, Strickland, was on Feinbaum on Thursday, and he said out loud, Billy Napier's going to win titles. Billy Napier's not going anywhere.
Of course he is.
And I laughed at that because there's the dreaded kiss of death, because I don't know if you could have looked worse.
No.
They look inept. They look unprepared. They're now going to go to a five-star quarterback because Graham Mertz ain't coming back for that starting gig.
I mean, he threw for 91 yards in that game Saturday.
I would have fired him.
He's like a fifth-year quarterback. He threw for 91 yards in that game.
He couldn't open a water bottle in the post game. I would have fired Billy Napier after this game. I don't care what my schedule. I don't care. I'm admitting that we're in a bad spot, yeah. And I'm just moving on, and now I'm doing reconnaissance work on who's the next Florida coach.
It is crazy, too. The other funny part about it this weekend, and from the reaction to the loss, Dan Mullen has become one of my favorite personalities. Like, that dude has realized I'm living the fired coach buyout life, and I just get to be on TV and play golf, and I don't have any pressure. Like, he is winning at life right now. And him liking a tweet that basically said they fired the last guy to bring in Billy Napier after the last guy went to 3 New Year's Six bowl games in 4 years. The only year that they didn't win, have a winning record was his last year that they slipped a little bit. They were 6-7 in his final year at Florida. The year before that, they were in the SEC title game. The year before that, they won the Orange Bowl. The year before that, they won the Peach Bowl. That's what Dan Mullen did in 4 years at Florida. He had one losing season, and they fired him. They brought in Billy Napier, who has had back-to-back losing seasons and is headed for just a catastrophe this year.
They're going to have a losing season.
Like, the schedule only gets harder from here, and the back end of it is the hardest we have ever seen in the history. Go look at their last 5 games of the regular season.
And they have a freshman at
quarterback.
It is insane.
Now. Like, good luck, dude. You're going to win 3 games this year.
Yep.
It is just crazy how far they have fallen off, and he has not been able to recruit elite levels at the high school level. Mm-hmm. And it just is a reminder of sometimes you don't need to press the panic button and fire the guy too soon, because the next guy, there's not a guarantee that he's going to be better. Firing Dan Mullen after one losing season was a joke. They shouldn't have done it, and now they're paying the consequences for it.
On the other side of that, Miami starts 1-0. They give Florida like their worst home loss. They score the most points ever at Gainesville for an opposing team. And now here we are, Mario, who came in with a sub-500 record by one game as the coach of Miami. Cam Ward throws for 385, 3 tutties. Damian Martinez has 15 carries for 65 yards, so that's a 4.3 average.
And mostly through the air, which is kind of a surpriser for Miami.
And a 9-year college football professional tight end, Cam McCormick, scores a touchdown. So a lot of Pac-12 vibes in this game. And now everybody is just Miami, Miami, Miami. Because Cam Ward looked amazing, and they just stomped the Florida Gators.
I would like to give a name mention there to Cam Ward for his comments after the game, where he went in, not only beat Florida the way that they beat Florida and played the way that he did, he then made fun of their crowd and said they're not even that loud. And if you want to be loud, you need to cheer while we're in the huddle, not just when we're getting ready to snap the ball. And then proceeded to say that both USC and Autzen way louder than Florida.
Washington.
Washington
and Oregon were the two. He said they were both louder environments.
Pac-12 gets slept on. Like, he was out there waving the Pac-12 flag. I didn't see Cam Ward doing that in game one. So shout out to Cam Ward for that. That was really cool. I think the reason the spotlight is so bright on Miami is because of the way they won the game, and I don't feel like that should be the reason. The reason it should be on Miami right now, and the same reason it should be on Notre Dame, is that they just crossed maybe their toughest hurdle of the entire season. Go have some fun in poking through Miami's schedule the rest of the way.
It's pretty awful.
They play nobody. Clemson might be the second. I don't know if Clemson's the second best team, but they don't play Clemson in the regular season.
They'll be 7-0 going into their Florida State game, and right now I'm picking them to beat Florida State.
Why would you not? Florida State's, they're terrible. Yeah. Of course you're going to pick Miami to win that game. Boston College, who maybe they're good, maybe. They don't play Boston College. Like, there's only 2 teams with a winning record in the ACC in conference play, and they don't play one of them. Their next 5 games, they get Florida A&M, Ball State, South Florida.
Georgia Tech.
It could be. Towards the end of the year, they go on the road to Georgia Tech in November. Is that really a game where, like, that's not playing in the shoe. You're not going to Alabama. That's not a game against Georgia.
But hold on. Can I just pause this? Because I think valid points. I've looked at the schedule. I have a lot of the same feelings.
And Notre Dame is in the same line, by the way. They just got through their tough game, and now it's cake.
But I also, I kind of countered my own thought and feeling with, I did watch Mario at Oregon, and he had success. He also beat Ohio State and lost to Stanford, who was 3-9 that year. That was the same season.
That was. The next week, they struggled with Stony Brook, too.
Cam Ward, like, you know, UCLA last year, one touchdown, two picks against an okay UCLA team, not a great UCLA team. I've seen Cam Ward be that, and I've seen Cam Ward make me go, what's happening?
What are you doing right now?
So, like, I'm not saying that these people, Mario, Cam Ward, that they can't be better. They can't, you know, finally break through and not have these moments. But I've seen it to the point where I'm like, I won't be overly shocked if Georgia Tech beats them because Cam Ward throws three picks.
Sure.
And Damian Martinez is slowed and Mario has a questionable coaching decision. Because I've seen it from both.
Yeah, I would say you're spot on that. Cam Ward has a wild hair up his nose in games that aren't primetime games from time to time. And when they get, you know, Cal on the road in a ACC network game at 11 a.m. and he throws a couple of picks in the first half, it's not going to surprise me. I think the only difference that I have this year with it is just because of the expanded playoff. Like, you can get away with a hiccup or two.
Sure.
Is there anybody after week one that we would look at in their conference and say that they're better than Miami? From a talent standpoint, Miami was arguably the most talented coming in. You just needed to see the quarterback play, and can Mario get out of his own way? He wins a big game. They look like the most talented team in that conference. And so that's a difference. Like, you could slip up here or there. Maybe they do trip up at Louisville randomly, or Georgia Tech gets them late in the year. But if you win the ACC, man, you're guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff. This is the one thing that I do chuckle at in the offseason with the Florida State stance. And it is very ironic that Florida State is 0-2, but there is a benefit to being in a conference like that. If Florida State this offseason, or Miami or Clemson, either of these teams, fought their way into this, say the SEC gives them an invite, like, dude, you're not sniffing the playoff this year in that conference because you're not winning it, first off. And you think you're getting an at-large bid over some of these other teams at the top? If you're struggling to beat ACC teams, like, there is a benefit to being in a conference where you can run away with it. Miami has the ability to do that this
Florida
year.
State, Clemson played in neutral and home environments, lost by a combined 62-16. That one's from Matt Norlander. And everybody's pointing out the lawsuits and the Herb Street stuff. You're not wrong. They're not trying to get out of the ACC because of the conference.
No, they want more money.
They want more money. That's the stupid thing of all of this, is this is money. It's not even like, oh, we're bigger and badder and we don't want to have to ever play these teams. I think if they could stay and make good money, they would.
For sure. I know it's about financials, but sometimes be careful what you wish for is my warning.
Sure. And I think there's a lot of that. I think we're going to go through that with a lot of programs in college football in the next couple of years, of like, be careful what you wish for, because it might not always go how you think it's going to go. And yeah, money is nice, but sometimes it's like, where's your better ability to compete? Florida State's definitely in the ACC. I wouldn't say right now it's in the SEC.
No, they can't beat Boston College or Georgia Tech. If you can't beat Boston College and Georgia Tech, you're not beating Bama, Clemson.
Imagine them going to Ole Miss, who dropped 76 points this week. And God, Lane Texas would just roll them, and he'd just never let it stop.
Yeah, you're not beating Alabama. You're not beating any of those teams.
So I think your point on Cam Ward tomorrow, if they have a hiccup, or even two, it doesn't matter, because if they win this garbage conference,
they're in the playoff, man.
They get a home play. Well, they're going to... it'd be in a neutral site because they get a bye, but they get a bye and they'd be the home team in that. So a nice debut for Cam Ward and company. I was kicking myself I didn't spray the line on that game because I did like them. But
I loved the under in that game, and then Florida gave up 41 points on their own, and the over-under was 54. They basically covered. And then at the end of the game, they had the recruits lined up by the Miami tunnel.
They did.
And the Miami players were walking by their recruits.
Don't go here.
Telling them to not go there. Like, you can't get off the mat from that. Fire everybody. It's like when you get too many spiders in your house. Burn the damn thing down and rebuild it. That's what Florida's got to do.
I'm rooting for the Pac-12 players. Not so much a big Mario guy, but I will tell you, it's nice to have the U back.
Good for the sport?
It's good for the sport. I know it's a cliche radio thing to say and do, but it's true. It's some of these programs, it's nice when they matter, and it sucks when they don't. Because it's like, I grew up watching the U, and the U mattered a great deal. They were the Georgia of my life for a few years.
They were the dominant team.
And to watch them become just a disaster was depressing almost to see him on my TV losing to God knows who. And to see them do this now and kind of be back, and they got a little bit of that swagger. They're doing the chomp and then the thumbs down. And it's kind of like, it's nice. It's nice watching the U be good.
It was like a turn back the clock weekend, because I thought the two biggest winners of the weekend were Miami because they won on the road at Florida, and Notre Dame for winning on the road at Texas A&M. It was, what is it, 1987 here? Notre Dame and Miami basically, you know, got a red carpet down to the playoffs. This is great, man.
Let's talk a little bit more college football. We'll get to Oregon and what happened against Idaho this weekend as they won that game by just 10 points. Were they 47 or 43? I saw two different numbers flown out there.
It was 44 and a half when we did Sprague in the line. I think it got as
high. It got up to 48 almost by kickoff.
48 a kick.
It's a lot of points.
So
we'll get to that. Some other college football dealings next on The Fan. What happened in Eugene this weekend? We'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour. We will discuss my Beavs, who left me shaking in my boots at the half. And then settled things down in the second.
Run the ball, 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 run the ball. And deep shot. And run the ball, 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 run the ball.
Why do anything else?
That's right. It works.
When you can do it, you want to do it.
I wish we could do it.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the joke.
We can't do it.
So we'll get to all that coming up in the top of the hour here. We're just talking college football. It's nice to have it back in our lives.
Yes, it is.
I was also reminded, because there's a lot of blowouts, a lot of teams playing, you know, lesser opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Arch Manning, big deal. Arch Manning got his first touchdown.
He did. He got in. 52. Jay Norvell was still hiding his signs down 52 to nothing. He was walking around with a big blanket around. They were holding the big thing up. Like, dude, nobody's stealing anything, buddy. You're down 52 to nothing in the fourth quarter.
Do you see who Arch Manning's first touchdown
pass
was?
Yeah, we're going to throw it! It's not going to get completed.
Trivia game. Who was Arch Manning's first touchdown pass to? Don't look it up. Just guess.
I didn't see the highlight. I don't even know.
Silas Bolden.
Silas Bolden, number
Go
one.
Bees. Go Bees. It wasn't even technically should be a pass, in my opinion. It was more of a pitch, and Bolden caught it and then dove into the end zone.
Kind of a jet, you know, a jet sweep, if you will, kind of a thing.
Yeah. But we had some good games. We had some games to get up for. Exciting. Penn State routed West Virginia.
They did. Another team that put people on notice who has a very manageable schedule the rest of the way. I sprigged the line on that game. I was wrong. I thought that's a tough environment to go play in. When they scored that touchdown with like 20 seconds left in the first half, they went like 80 yards in three plays to extend the lead. You're like, ooh, this maybe a bit of a difference in that passing game. And go look, man, they don't play Oregon this year. They don't play Ohio State this year. I don't know if playing Oregon's a benefit anymore. But you don't play Oregon, you don't play Ohio State.
You are in a mental pretzel today.
No, I think it's Oregon and Michigan that they don't play. And then they get Ohio State at home.
Okay.
And you got USC on the schedule. It was a challenging game. USC looked good Sunday night.
I
but
know.
It seems like they have a more manageable run this year where it's not Michigan and Ohio State that they have to get through.
Notre Dame with a big road win. All the talk of the offensive line being six starts collectively, young, going on the road. And Mike Elko bested by his former quarterback, Riley Leonard, who ran a ton and took a ton of hits. But
yes, he did.
They got a key stop. They were out physicaling Texas A&M at the line of scrimmage, and their running back was a beast. And they shored up a road win, hostile environment, big pivotal game, prime time. And Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame, get a huge road win at A&M this weekend.
It's a funny thing about reacting to week one wins, right? Like Notre Dame and Miami, to me, and Penn State to a certain extent, are the three teams we're kind of circling like, oh, all right, notable games coming in, statement wins for all three programs.
Yeah.
The funny reaction to it is we don't know yet how these wins are going to be viewed in the lens of an entire season.
That's why I love week one
overreactions. That's why it's so funny. Like, Texas A&M came in. They're still a very talented roster. Connor Wegman was a five-star quarterback coming out of high school. Like, that's a highly touted dude. He was 12 of 30 for 100 yards and two picks.
I didn't want to be mean to
terrible.
And I heard your voice like, Connor Wegman's good?
What he's supposed to be good.
What happened to this guy?
And like, last year before he got hurt, they sucked, but he at least played. He wasn't there issue. Like, for him to be 12 of 30 in his first game, 100 passing yards in your home stadium?
Could also be a credit to Notre Dame's defense.
Notre Dame's got a good defense. They ain't the 1985 Bears, man. Like, you have 170 yards. Is that too much to ask for? A 50% completion percentage?
Mm.
So that's the hard part about analyzing any of these, is that West Virginia could suck, and we look back and we're like, hey, remember when we freaked out that Penn State won that game, Florida could go 2-10. We all laugh like, hey, we freaked out when Miami won that game. They won two games all year. So it's hard to judge when you come out of week one. But for Notre Dame, because of their schedule, that was a must-win game for them. And they now have the freedom and the ability to do whatever they want to do the rest of the year. And guess what? Welcome to the college football playoff.
I know it's week one, so overreactions are kind of our specialty here in sports radio, but I took a lot of delight watching a game Sunday night, and I just went, oh, Lincoln Riley can still coach a little bit.
He still got it.
The demise might have been a little premature.
We're doing week one overreaction. Lincoln Riley back, huh? Defense has figured it out.
I mean, LSU is, I don't think they're going to be bad.
The coordinator they brought in, because
Anton Lynn,
they could tackle. That was the most defensively noticeable they thing looked night last and year day. Was how awful they were at tackling.
Did you hear, I think it was Mason Cobb in the postgame basic, or no, it was Akili Arnold. It was a former Beav. It was a tough weekend for
me. Yeah.
But they were talking about the defense and just like what he did and implemented to make them stronger and a more physical group versus last year. It was like a little too lax. And so like when they went to tackle, guess what they couldn't do very well? Was tackle. I don't know what LSU is going to be, to your earlier point on these teams. Like, they might be 7-5 this year. They might be 8-4.
Their defense looked better. Garrett Nussmeier had a good game. Like, LSU looked like a good team.
And I thought his coach, and we'll get to, we have a lot of audio to get to today, but his coach, I thought, was a little like, their quarterback outplayed our quarterback, and Miller Moss was great.
Nussmeier was good.
Nussmeier didn't really do anything,
you know, other than the pick at the, but that was at the end of the game.
But that, that's desperation. You're trying to just get it down as quick as you can.
Yeah.
I just thought overall for USC, that's a monster win. That's not a game they've won in a long time. And their quarterback, I'm not saying he's Caleb for sure, but like,
no, he played really well.
He's really good in that system. They've got weapons. USC, one of those, like, maybe it's a sleeper team in the Big Ten that we didn't give enough attention to going into the year.
I think the only difference between them and the other teams that we're talking about is how challenging their schedule is compared to a Miami, a Penn State, a Notre Dame, if you will, even though they do get Notre Dame at home at the end of the regular season.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 2 weeks away from going on the road to Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, that's just, I don't know how
but
good Michigan's going to be.
Weird this weekend.
They look very weird. A lot of teams look weird in week one. Like, that's just, you just won a big game.
Sure.
Now you get a cakewalk, or should be a cakewalk, against Utah State. And then you get a bye week, and then you go on the road to Michigan. And then you have to play Penn State 2 weeks after that. Then you have to go to Seattle, who knows how to run the football still. You get Notre Dame at the end of the season. Nebraska looked really good this weekend. You get them at home. Like, they just have a much more challenging schedule. If I am a USC fan, though, on the early returns, you have to be thrilled. We all knew the offense was going to be fine. They just need a defense with a pulse. Like, just show me you have the ability to be a top 40 defense in the country, and you can win a lot more games. Caleb Williams had to have been pounding the table like Brian Kelly this weekend. How many times did I have to win games 52-49 and you win the first game without me 27-20 against a pretty good offensive team? Where the hell was this when I was there? We could have won a national championship.
Loaded second hour of the program. What happened this weekend in Eugene, Idaho, pressing Oregon in a non-conference tilt to start the season? We'll kick off the second hour with that. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.